Earlier, I was sitting over here just during worship. And God says, I got this. And he has. He's been working today. His goodness and his grace, his power and his life. And he's been faithful to pour it out. And we just ask, Lord, just ask right now that you would continue through this time, Lord, that you would continue to meet the needs of those here. Lord, you'd speak to hearts. You would give downloads, Lord. You would give words. You would strengthen, and you would encourage. And we just pray and ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, moms, happy Mother's Day. I did know actually it was going to be Mother's Day, and so I just sought the Lord, and this is the verse that I have or heard, and it's Numbers 6, 24 through 26, and it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Peace is the word that jumped out at me at the whole thing. And we'll get to that in a minute. But his face shine upon you. Moms, the Lord is near to you. He is close to you. Amen. His presence is right there. The picture I got of the Lord making his face, you guys are all blurry if I do that. And I don't know why, but anyway. But the Lord making his face shine upon you, he is close. He is very, very close. And the Lord turn his face towards you. That's eye to eye. You're not talking to the back of the head or speaking to his hand. He is eye to eye with you. It's very close, very personal, very intimate. And then peace. In the Passion Translation, peace means total well-being. And so, moms, the peace of the Lord, his total well-being be with you today. In the Hebrew mindset, this is what that total well-being is. It is health. It is prosperity. It is peace. Total well-being. The second thing that I heard from him, if I get my tenses right, is moms, well done, well doing, and well to be doing. So Lord, we just thank you for the moms here. Lord, we ask that you'd give them honor today. Lord, that your grace and favor and peace would be upon them. Lord, I ask for the gatherings today, Lord, that your peace would be there, and where there needs to be reconciliation, there would be reconciliation. That you would go before these gatherings and that your presence would be there, Lord. Where I know some of us are going through firsts. And so, Lord, where there's a first in this Mother's Day, I just ask for your, again, your grace and your love just to surround us and to surround the moms, Lord. Let your joy be upon them, and let it be their strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I'll go this way because I'm not sure if Diane gets this, she'll share. So, it's candy. So, Taste and see that the Lord is good, ladies. Here. I'm sorry. I'm going to be in deep trouble if I don't do this. And, well, one other thing, too, since, I mean, we did have Mother's Day, and typically for us, Mother's Day, Father's Day are not a big thing. It's just like, hey, thank you, well done, yeah, right on, you rock. But today, I got a present for her, and it was a power tool. But it was a power tool that she wanted. Yay. So when she unwrapped it, she said, awesome. And in 30 plus years of marriage, never in my wildest dreams did I think that my wife would unwrap a power tool and say, awesome. But yay, God. It is. It is. So getting ready for this whole thing, you know, those of us that don't get up here on a regular basis are kind of going for that looking good, feeling good attitude with our dress. Clothes, I don't have a dress on, for those of you that can't see this. But, so, it is a time of change in my life, of the Lord building. And he's redistributing things, so we have New Balance shoes. Yeah, that's good. The other thing is, my wife is getting ready to do some traveling, and I think she doesn't want me to feel left out. So she's possibly sending me to camp or something like that. Because I know it was weird when I was getting dressed, I put on my undergarments and she had written her my name in them. But this is where it gets good. This is where it becomes God. Because my underwear said Jim Kangas, champion. And so, that's funny. If you need a verse for that, it's Ephesians 6:14, gird your loins with truth. So, I'm not really sure where a loin is, but I think it's in that general area. So, anyway, something like that, Ian Clayton would say true story. I'll just say story. Yay. Okay, Becca, there's your humor. Bryce, if you could put up... there we go. God, he wrecks me, and I love it. He unravels me with a song, with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. Amen. Verse 2. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowning in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I want to share, I guess if you'd call this anything, it would be a testimony. Recently. Of what God's been doing in my life. We won't go back to when I was born. That would take too long. But it involves you. Because a couple weeks ago, Jeff said, Jim, come on up here. You're going to be teaching in a couple weeks. And I just want you, I don't know what it was, to hear what the Lord would say to you. And so often, you know, the Lord is good. He gets it right. And what I needed to be here before you to speak his heart, you guys gave me. And it started with Cindy's word, being fearless. And that is so much, a struggle, or let's say former struggle in my life. And it started with Cindy, and it went around the room, and it ended with Rick, and his word was strides or big strides. And that was cool, because since, this is Cindy, Rick's back there. So since Cindy and Rick are a married couple, there's a unity in those words that came to me. And I saw that working out. I saw it working for, I'm glad to see you're enjoying the chocolate, ladies. That is good. Because, I mean, if you're going to taste and see, why wait? But there is a unity in that, and it was working to God's purpose. I am in a place of change. That building that Mike was talking about, Jeff alluded to the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is going to keep going forward. It is God's kingdom. There's nothing that is going to slow it down. So our choice is, do we move with the kingdom? Or do we stay where we're at? And the Lord told me this season that we're going to and into is an invitation to change. For me personally, I don't know if change is ringing through any of your hearts out there or any of your lives. Amen. Thank you. Change, and that is that moving forward. It's moving, and for me, it's moving past what has held me back for a long time. So let me give you a little bit of how this all worked out. So I'm okay pretty much talking with you guys, coming around, by you guys meaning the church, okay? And the church is the people. If you look to your left and you look to your right, that's the church. It's not the mortar and brick and whatever that's stacked up around us. But outside the church, you know, people standing, yeah, not so much. I mean, my heart pounds, my palms get sweaty, I still feel like I'm going to throw up, but I just rationalize I wouldn't act. And so last Saturday, going to Safeway, I see a guy sitting along the side, which I've now renamed the prayer wall. And he was sitting there, and he, you know, Lord said, pray for him, and whatever, stupid reasons. No. La, la, la. I didn't. And so I walked in, came back, and then I got home, and I felt like crap. Yeah, because it was sin. Flat out disobedience. By the grace of God, I'm here today. Just quick interjection. Tuesday nights, one of the things we learned, that if the plumb barb starts swinging, it could be heresy. So, you know, if it's that, you're all free to go. The other thing is it could be an earthquake, so, or possibly the last and final thing we determined is maybe it's the air conditioning system. So we just finished that thing on discernment, so I'll leave that all for you. If that thing starts shaking, I'll leave it to you to figure out. So anyway, Saturday, Sunday, I got up. still kind of dwelling that, feeling apologetic, repenting, and now I'm repenting in the house where there's no coffee. So that's terrible. least for me. So I get up to Safeway, I go to Safeway, look at the wall, nobody's there. Thank you, Lord. Well, that's what I did. I mean, I'm just being real. So I went in and I got the coffee, came back out, driving home. Look at the odometer on the car. It says 8, 8, 8, 8, 8.
Wow.
Yeah. 8 is the number of new beginnings and 5 is the number of grace. I told Jeff a little bit about what's going on. He says, well, did you park the car? I said, I seriously thought about it, you know, like when the Israelites went across the Jordan, when it was dry, they piled up stones as a memento, as an altar. I thought about that, but then parked in the street forever would probably not be good. I did pray, though, all the way home, Lord, please, please, please let me get there with it being 8, 8, 8, 8, 8. But because I wanted to show Diane on the odometer, but it flipped over. So, but she encouraged me. She said, that means something. And so, yes, it does. And so Jeff was talking and sharing, and he said something about restoration. All I know is I was just on the ground. And so, because I can't continue in that. I can't continue that way, being bound by that fear. So I know people prayed. I know Jeff was prayed. And so typically Diane kind of hangs out here and she says, I'll find a way home. So I got in the car, started headed home. I said, I'm going to Safeway and I'm taking back some ground. So I pull into the parking lot, and then I said, Lord, what am I going to do? You know, so I heard, you know, well, just buy a water. I said, okay, I can do that. So I looked for the, you know, scanned the parking lot. Some lady with cart full of groceries goes by. I said, no, that's not it. So get out of the car, start walking. I see Brent, and we exchange pleasantries, like, hi, nice day, have a good time. And so I start walking in, and then I start scanning the front. And nobody over there where I typically see anything. There's somebody sitting down by the wood pile. So I said, okay, here we go. So I go by, walk up to him. He says, hey, how man, how you doing? He goes, good, just sitting here waiting for a ride. I said, oh, okay. So keep walking. I go in, go to the water counter, still trying to say, okay, Lord, is that the guy? What am I doing? Da, 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 you know, looking at all the water, saying, okay, if I'm going to buy this guy a water, what kind of water do you get? You know, because this is important. I mean, the whole water thing could make or break the deal. So then I start to walk away, and I hear the Lord say, buy him a water. So I stop, and I turn around, and the brand you buy is Arrowhead. Because you want the love of God to pierce that person's life, to pierce his heart. So I'm in line and I'm praying, Lord, please let the guy be there. So I get out, come around, and he's not there. And I say, okay, start scanning again. See some dude with an iPad or something, and I could just tell. I said, no, that's not the one. I could just tell by the vibe he was putting off. And so kind of in through the columns, I see the guy. So I said, okay, this is it. So this is it, I'm going in. So I walk up to him and I go, the Lord wanted me to buy you a water. So I hand him a water and he goes, thanks. And then I say, can I pray for you? And he says, sure. And I say, what do you need? He says, just to make it. And so I prayed. And I couldn't tell you right now a single word of what I said, probably then, in Jesus' name, amen. But at the end, the guy crosses himself and he says, "Thank you. That's just what I needed." And so God, being continually faithful, his initials, before I prayed, I said, "What's your name?" And he says, "Well, my name's JR." I said, "Okay, JR, I'll pray for you." Well, that's also my initials. So that day, two JRs got what they needed. Amen. So today, with a whole heart, I can stand before you and say, God is for us. And that's kind of where I'm heading. That is the main, if you want to put a title on this thing, I'd title it, God is for us. And if you get the opportunity to teach and you're looking at your paper and you're freaking out and wondering what to do, you know, God is good. If you look to the top of the page and you read those words, it'll probably encourage you. Because what he wants you to say, he's probably speaking to you. So, we're going to start in Romans, and we're going to go through three phrases today, because short little phrases are what are working for me. It's just how I'm able to grasp what God is saying to me. So this is the message, Romans 8:29 through 35. I looked to my Passion Bible translation experts, Jeff and Tracy, and they said Romans is not out yet. So it's a pre-sale. It's coming. Romans 8:29-35 in the Message. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. His son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of God. We see the original intended shape of our lives there in him. After God made that decision of what his children should be like, he followed it up by calling people by name. After he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. And then, after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing is the word it says, what he had begun. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of his chosen? And who would dare to even point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? It ends, there is no way. More traditionally, the NIV reads in verses 29 through 31, Romans 8:29 through 35. The first part was in a message, and this is Romans 8:29 through 31 in the NIV. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. So what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. David said it this way in 1 Samuel 17:26. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?
If God is for us, who can be against us? And really, my focus in this time of sharing and teaching is God is for us. The enemy, he is out there. I read the end, we win. So, amen. So we just need to, Last week somebody talked about perspective, and the perspective being our focus on Jesus, like it says in Hebrews, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And that is our focus. If we focus on him, we don't have to worry about trying to outsmart the enemy. The only other thing is I would say, if God is for you, then you be for you. Yes. Don't be against yourself. Yeah. From the message, I just liked how it started. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. And we're going to talk about God a little bit later and just who he is and his greatness and awesomeness and his just incredible nature that these lips can't adequately describe, nor this brain comprehend, or this body contain. One of the few things that I understood that Jason Westervelt said was, Christ is in you, and he wants out. So that is true. I mean, that is really how we advance the kingdom, is the Christ. Because the Christ that is in us is, he's not getting any better because he don't have to. He is who he is. And we just need to be faithful and obedient to when the heart pounds or the Holy Spirit drops something in us, that we act upon that. It'll give you joy and it'll brighten your whole day. Trust me. The message just, okay. The NIV shortly just says it succinctly, God is for us. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as that of his son. You and I become like Jesus. The purpose in that is that we would accomplish his will. We would establish and advance the kingdom of God. As Wimber said, we'd do the stuff. We'd accomplish and complete the things God has given each of us to do. We each have personal assignments, personal things that we're supposed to get done. We're saying that's what's on our scroll. That's what we do when we realize water from heaven, that God is for us. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. No, but it is. I'll skip the brand name. It is purified drinking water. So we'll say it is pure water from heaven. Here you go. Amen. Amen. God being for us doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy. Because if you read right after that in Romans, it talks about what will separate us from the love of God. Is it trials, persecution, famine, sword? It talks about stuff that we would rather avoid. James, in the book of James, says, consider it all joy or pure joy when you encounter various trials and tribulations, knowing that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. So my only beef with the Passion guy, Dr. Brian, is that he said James should be Jacob, the book of Jacob, because God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. My personal opinion is I like James a lot better. So again, it's not about all the bad stuff going away. It's knowing that God is for us. And it's about honoring God with our lives by living in a way that is pleasing to Him. And we do that by faith in Him, obedience to His commands, and repentance when we sin. So, kind of started with Cindy's word and that fearless. And I receive it from Cindy because she has a fearless heart. And that is, so when you get a word and you know that the person that is giving it represents that, it makes it double awesome. Well, not speaking as a family member, we'll let that whole terrifying thing be worked out over there. So this is where Rick's word comes in. And Rick's word was strides, or big strides. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, let us lay aside everything that would entangle us and the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with perseverance or endurance the race set before us. And then it goes on to say, fixing our eyes on Jesus. So, what happens in my life as God makes me fearless is I don't smack into that wall of fear and I'm not impeded, but I begin to run. And when you run, you take strides because you're trying to get there as fast as you can, with a certain amount of pacing yourself, because I've done it both ways. If you pace yourself, it makes it easier to get to the end of the race. But it is a stride, it is a running, it is a changing of position, it is a moving forward. And so I just loved how, because years ago, back before there were Nikes, I used to run. So that would give you an idea somehow of where that whole time frame thing is. From the verse in 1 Samuel when David said, who dare defy the armies of the living God? God is alive. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I want to kind of look a little bit. This is kind of a review about some of the attributes of God. Because way back when Jeff, not way back, but I don't know, 10 weeks, 12 weeks ago, when Jeff started the thing about discernment, he started by talking about the attributes of God. And the place that helps me center and kind of focus and get thinking that way is the first four words of the Bible. In the beginning, God. And so if you are just, you know, if you need an encouragement sometimes, that is a great four words to focus on. In the beginning, God. So here, and when I do that, it just makes me smile. It just makes me relax. It is back to that word that I got this morning, God telling me I got this. So, in the beginning, God. Jeff shared on 18 attributes of God, and it's on the website. You can go there. We're going to take a look at a few of them. The first one is self-existence. And this is Moses at the burning bush, where God said, in the version that I memorized, I am that I am. I am the one who always was. That's the cool part about in the beginning, God, because God was before the beginning. And
that will blow your mind if you stop and think about, well, before the beginning, God, what were you doing? You know, Justin, Ian, Jason probably could fill you in on a few things there. But in the, and along with that whole untanglement thing too. Moses at the burnished bush, I am the one who always was. Kind of along with that, God is eternal. He has always been and will forever be. That is why he can see the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. He's not limited by time. Whatever constraints time puts upon you and I, it doesn't upon him. He can move freely and wherever. Infinitude. God has no boundaries. He is without measure. He is limitless. And that short circuits my little brain. Because as big as you try to make him, he's bigger. You know, that's why it's hard for him to fit in our boxes. So, Lord, we freely step into you and into your largeness, into your infinitude, to your unboundedness, Lord. And we say yes. We say pour it out upon us, Lord, and let us be bold and faithful to share that. You know, I was thinking one time of what type of people are there in the world. And because I'm really good at putting people in different sections. Well, this person is so-and-so and that person is so-and-so. Well, there's really only one type of person in the world, and that's the person that needs Jesus. Some of us have that understanding. Others don't. And it's our job to encourage those that aren't yet in relationship with him, that they would know him. This fourth thing is God has perfect knowledge. And what Jeff said after that, he can't learn. There is nothing for him to learn because he knows it all. And so that is amazing. There's nothing that he hasn't seen, hasn't figured out. There is nothing going on in our lives that he can't handle. And that's, God is for us. God, just trying to share with you the bigness of who he is, that he is able to handle what we think he might, maybe he can't, but there's nothing in our lives that he hasn't seen. The next thing I want to talk about is God is all powerful. And if you have a God, that's a good kind of God to have, because there is nothing that is going to be stronger than him. There's nothing that's going to be stronger out there in here than God. He rules and reigns supreme. The sixth attribute, and kind of leads us to our third and final phrase that I found in scripture, is, and this is in 1 Corinthians 13:8, love never fails. And that is the love of God for us. It is a love that is found in his nature. It is who he is. John, in 1 John, says, God is love. And John, the apostle, would know that because he's the one who refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. God, John had a connection here on earth with the love of God. So I'm sure that when Holy Spirit put those words in his mind for him to write in 1 John, it must have delighted his heart because he had a connection with that truth, that God is love. It is the nature of who he is. Going through 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love is patient. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Love is kind. And this is in Luke 6:35, and it's encouraging us, if you just love who loves you, what good is that? Even the unsaved, or even, I don't know what he uses, the word he uses, but he's talking about his kingdom people. We need to do more than what the world does. And at the end it says, if you do this, then you will be sons of the Most High God, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. So God's love is kind. Love does not envy. God doesn't envy, because none of us have anything he wants. You know, really. What are you going to get him? You know, he can go anywhere, he can go anywhere he wants to go. He can do anything he wants to when he gets there. The only thing that I found that is interesting is that he is a jealous God. He cares who we worship, and he cares where our affections are. Amen. You know, if you want to get on the bad side, you can say, you know, let's not go there. We just continue to worship Jesus and we'll be all right. Whew, almost messed that up. Love does not boast. You know, God's nature is, he is a God of truth. I am not a man that I would lie. So whatever God says is going to be the truth. He has no reason to boast. He doesn't need to be bigger. He is unlimited huge. God is not proud. Love is not proud. A definition of pride that I heard is trying to be something you're not, projecting who you are not. You are either bigger or smaller. God is good with who he is. He doesn't need to do anything other than who he is. The interesting thing that I found out as I was driving home after JR and I had our little interaction is it was a good thought, but it has just gone out of the head. It's back. It's in high definition. I can see it now. Is that yay, Technicolor. When I was talking with JR, when I was praying for JR, I wasn't being anybody different. I was just being who he's made me to be. Yeah, I was just being me. And Diane has encouraged me so many times as I was, what you doing? Well, I'm getting ready for Sunday. Will you just relax and be you? So that was... And others have told me that. Just get up here and be you. And so, yeah, well, you said that to me, Jeff. So it is. It is good. It is good. And so that's, if, just be yourself, man, who you are. Be true to who God is making you to be. Don't try to be somebody you're not. God loves you how you are and will use you how you are because that is how he made you. Love is not rude. The definition of love, or the type of love that God has for us, in the word in the Greek is agape. But God's love is he holds the well-being of others as his primary concern. So he's really out for our best. When I was sitting down here and trying to figure out what the heck I was going to do, I realized that when I was obeying him, I needed to obey the Lord. And the Lord says, my lordship is like my love. His lordship is still after our best, still after our highest good. Love is not self-seeking. Again, God holds the well-being of others as his primary concern. Love is not easily angered. In Exodus 34:6, when God was appearing to Moses, this is what he said as he passed by Moses. The Lord, compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Love is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrong. John 3:16, the verse that we somehow is the first one we memorize in Sunday school. For God so loved the peoples of the world that he gave his only begotten Son. If you have walked into that relationship with him, if you have said yes to him, then your sins are blotted out by the blood of Jesus. Love does not delight in evil. Evil cannot continue to live and exist in his presence. Love delights in truth. Love always protects. God is for us. His love always trusts. And I think that when we get a grip and a grasp, and Lord, put it in our spirits of his love, that it produces a trust and a faith in him. And that love produces also a hope. Love always perseveres. In Romans 5, 1 through 6, it says this. It's basically the verse 6, but 1 through 5 were so good, I could not read them. Stop, not read them. So this is what it says. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, and we have peace with God, total well-being with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and hope that does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. And verse 6 is the thing that spoke to me of perseverance. You see, at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for you and I. So, kind of to wrap this up, today is a someday, an S-U-M. It is the fifth month, it's the 10th day, it's the 15th year. If we add up these attributes of love, if we add up these attributes of God, we see that love never fails, and love does not fail because God does not fail. So what now? We love him back. The first and greatest commandment is thou shalt love the Lord your God
with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love him for who he is, for who his nature is. Be thankful for what he does and provides for you, but love him for who he is. We worship him. The Shorter Catechism says the chief end of man is to glorify God and to joy him forever. And the third thing is we have faith. Faith in him. Word says that it's impossible to please God without faith in him, because in order to please him, you must believe that he is. So we have that faith in who he is and that he will provide what we need to do what we've been called to do. So the end result is this, that we will run with perseverance, that is the race that is set before us, and the joy of the Lord will be our strength. Amen. So, ladies, happy Mother's Day.